throw it down. You know, in the book of Acts, there talks about the Apostle Paul, and I mentioned some of this Wednesday night, that, you know, the Apostle Paul was going from one region to another region trying to preach, and the Spirit of God kept forbidding him to preach, kept saying, no, no, not here, not here. And then all of a sudden, one night, Paul had a vision, and there was a man from Macedonia that was standing there, and he said, you know, come over here and preach. And so Paul knew where to go to preach. And I believe there's a call going out over America right now by the Spirit. You know, some people come to me and say, hey, you know, gosh, I was just listening to TBN, or I just heard Joel Osteen, or I just heard, you know, some other preacher preaching. He's preaching the same thing you were preaching. Well, you know, nobody sends us notes. We don't know. We don't all get together and have a preacher's conference about what's going on. But if you're sensitive to the Spirit, we all should be preaching something along the same, because the Spirit of God's crying out over the face of the world right now. He's making a call that's going out, and to me, I'm receiving it and hearing it as the Patriot's call. Not just a patriot of being America, but a patriot of being a Christian. For too long, we Christians have said, and because religion told us that in order to be a good Christian, you were to just be nice and just sit at home and just kind of pray and just kind of let things go along. And we have failed, I believe, to do the duty that Jesus called us to do. I believe that as Christians, because we have a wider call than just Americans, but as Christians, we have failed in this area. We've allowed liberal theology to come in. We've allowed liberalism to take over our schools, to take over our communities, to take over our government, all in the name of saying, well, we can't really do much about that. Now, you got to understand something. When I'm using the term liberal this morning, I'm not talking about a specific class of people. I'm talking about loose. Y'all with me? When I say liberal this morning, I'm talking about you accept anything, let everything go. That's liberal theology. Liberal theology says, oh, it'll all be okay. We'll all get saved in the end. Everybody's going to go to heaven. It's all going to work out okay. That's liberal theology. Not that there's a God who sent his son to this earth and his name is Jesus. And if you confess and believe in him as the Son of God, then you go to heaven. That's not conservative theology. That's just true theology. You're with me? And we've allowed America to become a place to actually be a breeding ground of stupidity. Because nobody would stand up and say, you're absolutely 100% wrong. People have tried to put upon us Christians that we're bad people if we don't believe in homosexuality. We're bad people if we don't believe in same-sex marriage. We're cruel. We're hard. We're unloving, unforgiving. And I say, just hear me out on this. If a young man says, you know, I want to try drugs. Your son says, I want to try drugs. Let's make it personal. Your son says, I want to try drugs. And you say, well, little Johnny, I guess if you want to try drugs, just go ahead, you know. Now, there's a lot of different kinds of drugs out there. Now, what are you going to do? And you help little Johnny to experience this, knowing fully well that that road is going to end in destruction. You're a fool. Love says you stop and you say, don't go down that road. Love is when you stand up there and you say, no, no, we can't do that. All this time I've been preaching and talking, and we've been using about schools, talking about schools, and the statistics plainly show that when our school systems changed and the federal government said you can't pray and you can't, you know, you need to get God basically out of schools. It has to be this separation of church and state. When all that came about, everything started to decline. But that only makes sense. If you take God out of anything, it can only go down. Can't go up. well, but pastor, you know, some people, they just don't, they don't really believe in God, and you need to just love them, and you need to, listen to me, I want them saved. I want them to know that what we know is the truth. Love means I'll stand up and say, you're going the wrong way. And if they say, oh, I'm not listening to you, well, I'm still going to scream, you're going the wrong way. Amen? So, there's a story here in the book of Joshua, and this is where I want to set this up, and then I want to preach these 5 points real quickly. It says in Joshua chapter 1, and to set the stage, the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land. The first town that they're really coming up against is Jericho. They cross. Joshua, if you read the stories, the chapters prior to this, Joshua goes out and he's walking along and he sees this man standing there with the big sword in his hand, and he walks over there to him and said, hey man, are you for us or against us? And he said, well, I'm the captain of the host of the armies of all of God. Yeah, I'm for you. And so he told him to go in and spy out the land and do whatever, yada, yada, yada. And so he goes in, and they go through there, and they're spying out the land, and they come across Rahab. Now, this is important. Just, you got to remember this lady, Rahab. She takes them in, and she hides the spies that are spying out the land so that they don't get killed. And so the spies are getting ready to leave, and she said, hey, wait a minute. We know who you all are, and y'all are getting ready to come in. Y'all are going to attack the city, and you're going to win because God's with you. And I don't want to be killed. And I helped out. And so I throwed something into this deal. So, hey, come on. What do I get? And so the guys say why they chose this, I don't know. There's no really anything to really understand it. You know, but she led them down the side of her house or whatever, down the wall, and they escaped. And the guy said, listen, if you leave a scarlet, a red cord hanging out of the window, then when we come and attack, we'll know that's your house, and we'll tell everybody, don't attack that house. But only whoever's in that house gets saved. Anybody that's outside the house is going to die. So I want you to understand this now. You got to understand, when you read the Bible stories, it's real. Okay? The Bible says there was such fear, it says right there in chapter 6, verse 1, there was such fear on the land that Israel coming across, because they already knew that this is the people that got free from Egypt. This is the ones that the Red Sea opened. They heard the stories. They knew who Israel was. They knew that no army could stand before them, and they're coming to their town. And everybody's shaking in their boots saying, oh my God, they're going to kill us. They're going to kill us all. We don't stand any defense except maybe these walls that we have, this big, strong city. But Rahab, she wasn't scared. Think about this. Rahab was feet kicked back, just telling everybody, you better stay in the house. We don't know what's going to happen, but you better stay in the house, and we better make sure that red rope's hanging outside. Right? I mean, I'd have been checking that thing pretty often. Make sure one of the grandkids didn't untie the knot and it fell off or something, right? So all this is taking place, and it says in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. It says here, now listen to me, this is what I want to tell you about America, what I believe God's telling us that we need to turn the tide. If you read it out of the Hebrew, it says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, because their face was towards them. In other words, in the way it was written is like, you know, they looked. Israel's face looked. God's face looked towards Jericho. And they all just began to shudder and close the doors and say, oh my gosh. I want to tell you something, church, what I believe. I believe with all of my heart that before it gets better, it's going to get worse. I believe that the devil right now thinks he's got America right where he wants it. And I believe before now and the end of the year, he's going to do everything he can to do every kind of bit of destruction that he possibly can. He's going to try to manipulate Congress as much as he can, to put as many crazy laws in, to do as much stuff as he can, to steal every balance of liberty that he possibly can from you. You got to understand something. The people in Congress are nothing but puppets. Now listen to me. This is going to be good. Just listen to me. I believe that if enough Christians will hear the Patriots' call, if enough Christians will turn their face together towards Jericho, that all of a sudden they're going to realize, uh-oh, the Christians are waking up. Uh-oh, the people that are really for God are waking up. And I believe the devil's going to begin to shake in his boots. He's going to begin to tremble and say, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, they're looking this way. They're getting together. They're getting organized. Oh gosh, they're praying. Oh, I believe heaven's going to start to tremble. I mean, hell's going to start to tremble. Hell's going to start to have a rumble in it because they're going to start to say, oh my gosh, Christians are waking up. Uh-oh, they're serious. Uh-oh, we're not going to get to pull this off anymore. Uh-oh, things are changing. And I believe God will raise up whatever needs to be raised up to destroy it, but we're going to have to pray it. It says here that verse 2 says, now the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho to your hand. When Joshua stood there and looked at Jericho, he saw a huge city whose walls were so thick that they used to race chariots on. He saw nothing that was defeated. He saw it completely, surely, like a fortified city up there, completely shut up, and that there was no way to get in. That's what he saw. And right now, you may be looking at the situations going on in your life. You may be looking at the things going on in this world and be sitting there saying, how in the world could that possibly change? How in the world could God do this? How's he going to straighten up this mess? I don't know, but that's not our job to figure it out. It's only our job to do what he tells us to do. He said, go march around the city 7 days. Now think about this. Every morning they got in battle array. Every morning everybody came out. Every morning the people looking over the walls in Jericho thought, ah, today's the day. Rahab, she just checking to see if the rope's out there. Yep, got the rope tied in here. She's okay. She's not concerned. Everybody else is, oh, they're coming. And then that evening they all go back to camp. Nothing happens. People at Jericho say, oh, maybe they're going to leave. Next morning, same thing happens. Fear comes up. It must have been driving them crazy. Now, it seems to me it's like God being the cat playing with the mouse. He knows that any time he could eat it, but he wants to toy with Jericho a little bit. He wants to try to teach the children of Israel obedience to do what he said, but he wants to kind of poke at Jericho a little bit. They said when the blast of the trumpet came that the walls of Jericho fell flat. Not fell down, but fell flat. There's a difference. Fell flat means they just fell over flat. Not crumbled. They blasted the chariots, and the only defense that there was for Jericho fell down with the blast of a trumpet. My first point is that if we as Christians will start to focus and get God back in country. Amen. Listen to me. In John chapter 1 verse 5 it says the darkness could not comprehend the light. Darkness is never going to understand light, and I don't think that we should have compassion for darkness. Well, poor darkness. We know if light shines, it's going to get dispersed. And we, well, poor darkness. It has a place. We need to have darkness. That's what people are trying to tell us. If you didn't have sinners, you wouldn't need church. Good problem to have. Right? The world keeps trying to tell us that, listen, darkness is never going to understand the light, but we have got to get God back in country. We have got to get God back in everything. We've got to get God back in our schools. We've got to get God back in everything. And I don't care what they say. Well, you're going to offend the Muslims, or you're going to offend the Buddhists. You're going to offend. Listen to me, folks. I want to tell you something. We're either right or we're wrong. Go ahead and determine right now. Are you right? Is what you believe right? Do you believe in the Bible? Do you believe in what it says? Is this your manual for life? Do you believe that what it says is the truth? Or are you questioning? Well, you know, I mean, it's okay if you want to be Muslim. If it, you know, it'd be okay. Listen, you're either right or you're wrong. I could get, I don't even care anymore if I get in trouble. I don't even care how many people, because I'm not out to offend people. I'm out to tell them the truth. But we keep wanting to, in America, making concessions for every other religion while we put Christianity down and say, y'all can't say anything. No, no, y'all don't say anything. Oh, let's let these say something. What? We're right. They're wrong. But the world makes no sense anymore. And there comes a time and a place where you have to stand up and say, listen, what are y'all talking about? You don't have any sense at all. Sit down and be quiet. We're taking over the reins that were ours, that were given to us by God. We're going to grab hold of them. This is the way it's going to be, or no way. And when Christians will rise up and begin to say, no, that's absolutely wrong, we're not going to put up with that anymore. I mean, do you realize that there's been millions and millions of dollars spent in court cases to see if you can put a Christmas tree up? Ten good moral commandments. Forget that came from Moses and by the finger of God. 10 good things that people ought to want to live by, and they don't want to put them up anymore. No, no, you can't put that up anymore. We don't want to see that in the court system. Oh, heavens to Betsy, that we might have a court, something in a court system reminding somebody you shouldn't lie, cheat, and steal. You see, it doesn't make any sense anymore. And what I'm saying is, unless we hear the Patriots call and we rise up and say, that's stupid. You say, oh, you shouldn't say harsh words like that. I'm telling you, I've got a lot more that I'm holding back. If we as Christians don't rise up and get arm in arm together and stand together and say, look, that is ridiculous. We got to get God back in country. We can't have this. When you see it come across your desk or in your situations or in your business, it's ridiculous. Say, no, we're going to pray. You don't want to pray? Go outside the room. We'll tell you when we get through. We'll call you back in if you don't want him back. Oh, heavens to Betsy, if light would shine into your darkness. Darkness can't comprehend it. Darkness doesn't want to do it. Darkness doesn't understand it. Okay, go outside till you can figure it out. We're going to pray. Oh, but you might offend somebody. Offend them. God's got to come back in country, I'm telling you, church. God's got to come back in country. The second thing is the Bible says in James 5:16 that the prayers of a righteous man avail much. Folks, we've got to pray. We have not just got to pray like silently or just in your car when you go to work. We have to start praying again as a family. You say, well, Pastor, I feel so, it just makes me kind of weird feeling when I go to pray. I just don't know what to. Folks, listen to me. You need to pray. You need to get past that barrier. You need to get past that obstacle. You need to grab hands with your wife and your family and your children. You need to pray. So, well, I don't say so good. I don't care. Like I said, I've told y'all this and told you this. If you run out of adjectives and all you've got left is cuss words, you probably ought to quit praying then. But prior to that, anything you want to say out of your mouth, however simple or however complex, I don't care if you want to pray, oh, Heavenly Father, thou that sitteth in the heavens, thou that ridest. I don't care what you want to do. If that's what you want to do, you want to say, hey, God, we've got some trouble down here and I need some help. Either way, it's going to get heard in heaven. Either way, it gets logged in. Either way, it gets computed. It doesn't make any difference. If you walk up to your children and say, we're going to pray, and they say, well, I pray, Dad's freaking out. Yeah, I'm freaking out. I am freaking out. Now be quiet. We're going to pray. Now God be with us today and help us out. We need some help. We don't want to kill anybody. You know, help us from cussing and shooting and killing and stomping and whatever, God. And you know, okay, thank you, Jesus. That's as best you can do. That's all you got. That's a pretty good one, really. I mean, that's a pretty good one. That'll work. I mean, I pray that lots of times. Lord, help me to keep from killing them. That's how I got so good at that kind of praying. But we got to have times. We got to pray. You say, well, I don't know. Does it do any good? Yes. The prayers of a righteous man avail much. You need to pray with your family. You need to pray over your meals. Listen, you know, who was it talking about blessing the meals? And we weren't supposed to bless the meals. When? I don't know what he's talking about, but No, I did at that point, but I'm teasing. But what I'm saying is it's a good time to stop and pray with your family. Forget about the food. I mean, you can pray over the food, don't let it kill you or whatever. I don't know how you need to pray over your food, but I'm just saying it's a good time to pray for your whole family. It's a good time when the family, what happened to those days? You know, we've mocked the Leave It to Beaver style families, but yet everything's destroyed in families. They don't even know who they want to marry anymore. Can you imagine the new show that would be like the to Leave It to Beaver? And it's two guys that are married now. By the way, on that subject, that ain't right. If y'all hadn't figured that out, that ain't right. Just want to bring that up. You know why it's not right? Not because I said so, because God did. Because that's what the Bible says. So you see, folks, it's really easy to live the Bible if you just keep it as your standard. And that's what it's going to do. And somebody says, well, who do you think you are? You're not so righteous either. Hey, man, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus, by the grace of God, and that's it. Other than his blood on me, I ain't getting in either. Oh, you think you're so holy and mighty and what? No. I think I'm covered under the blood of Jesus. But I know that what he says, and I got enough sense to read at least 10 commandments. And I can go read through the scriptures what it says, and this is what God says to do, and so therefore that's what I believe. Well, I don't think it's right. Okay, then you don't believe in God, and that's okay. Go stand outside. This is what we're going to do. This is the direction the country's going, because this is what's right. It's not about hurting that person. It's not about loving that person. It's not about not caring for that person. Listen to me. Churches are crazy. Preachers are crazy. You got to watch all of it. Just because it's got church written on it doesn't mean. I was in a religious meeting yesterday and I heard a person say something to the effect of, well, you know, just want to go to some drug rehab and get somebody out of it and you know, take them to church. And I thought, isn't that what we should be doing? Heavens to Betsy. That we would say, oh, you know, we don't want those. We want all kinds of people. I don't care how weird, goofy, and messed up they are. Listen to me. I want y'all to understand something about pastor. Since I studied the Constitution, my whole heart has changed because I finally understand how I can love every person. I believe some of them need to go to capital punishment. Some people need to be hung. Some need to be taken out in a wall and shot. And some need to be beat with a stick. But I can love them all through it because you know what I understand? That sounds crazy, but I'm telling you, I can't. Because I have finally come to the understanding when the founding fathers wrote the Constitution, they wrote the Constitution to protect every human being because they believed human beings were created in the image of God. And since they were created in the image of God, therefore they deserved rights. They forfeit their rights. They had to have punishment, but they have rights. And I've been able to change my whole attitude towards all kinds of people, even love politicians. But right is right and wrong is wrong. Y'all with me? I love you. You're doing wrong. You need to change. The Bible gives us a format. Change to it. If you don't want to change to it, you're going to have to step out of the way. We got congressmen right now that they're arguing about, what are we going to do with him? You know, he cheated on all of his taxes, he cheated on all this, he cheated on this, he cheated on that, he cheated on that. And I don't know, do you think he should step down from his job? What? Yet if I go 60, I get a speeding ticket. Horrible person. You drove 5 miles faster than you're supposed to. But cheat on your taxes, cheat on all that stuff. Stand up there in the forefront of Congress with that stupid smile on your face and think it's okay? Ain't right. I'm telling you, it's not right. I'm telling you, Christians have to rise up and say, that's not right. I'm kind of getting with the old president of the parish down there in Louisiana and says, you're going to burn. Everybody's going to burn in hell for that one. I was like, amen, brother. I don't know if y'all saw that. It was the greatest day I saw on the news. He just, this guy was mad. Hey, have y'all, I don't want to lose track. I'm only going on number two here, but I want to lose track. But have y'all noticed? Oh, I can get it. Have y'all noticed that, okay, the oil disaster, you know, disaster in the Gulf. Did you know that I heard a deal yesterday about BP, and they said that, you know, BP is reducing the oil skimming vessels and all this. Ooh, horrible people. Horrible people. They can't find the oil. I'll be darned if there wasn't some little microbes in the ocean that like to eat oil. And they have just gotten fat and happy and ate all the oil up. All right, you mean to tell me we've got scientists that did not know there was oil-eating microbes? You mean to tell me that they did not have enough sense to know this was going to happen and going to take place, that all of a sudden the oil has disappeared because the microbes in the ocean ate up? God had it all figured out the whole time. He already had checks and balances in nature's system the whole time. And while everybody's screaming oil disaster and bad people and this and that and the other and pointing the finger and making money off the deal, God was taking care of the oil spill. Do you think he'll get any credit for it? Absolutely not. I'm telling you, God's smarter than they are. And that's why I'm going to stick with his book and tell them, look, you need to get right with God. We need to get God back in country. And Christians need to start praying for this nation and praying for these things, because God's only one that's got any sense. Third thing, family. We have got to get hold of the family. We have got to get hold of the family unit again, church. We have got to teach people. We have got to help people. We have got to do everything we can to restore a family unit. A family unit being a father and a mother and children. We have got to restore the American family. Listen to me, if you have grandchildren, you have children, whatever you've got, whatever you're attached to, you don't have any, get over to your neighbor and help them. We have got to restore the family unit. We have got to restore honor and value in the family system. We've got to restore where children respect parents, and that parents pray over their children and teach their children and guide their children in the right direction. The world is a mess. But the family unit has to stand strong. Have you ever thought it was interesting that if God, the first commandment that he ever gave that had a promise with it, was if you obey your parents, then you'll live long and it'll be good? Huh? Think God's not concerned with the family unit? Listen to me, your family is important. Turn off the TV, start praying and reading, and start learning and growing together. You say, well, the kids don't want to sit down and have Bible time. I don't want to eat right either. My mother, she's not here today. She's not feeling well. Y'all be praying for her. She's been fighting some kind of bronchitis stuff or anything. But my mother drilled in my head that I could not eat a sweet before I ate my good food. And I stand here 49 years old, and I can't get it in my mouth until I've actually eaten something good. It is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. I was with Chucky one time, and he was eating a piece of pie before he ate whatever. And I said, what are you doing? He said, my mother's not here. I still remember that, Chucky. I still remember this day. I think about that, but I can't bring myself to do it. I said, what are you doing? I told him, I said, what are you doing? He said, my mother in here, and you're not my mother. So he ate his piece of pie. I'm like, you can't do that. But what I'm saying is my family ingrained that into me. Right along with, you know, you always have to have clean underwear on because you never know, you might have a wreck. Now, that is about the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. First of all, if you ought to have clean underwear on anyway. But then why prepare for the wreck? So there's a few things that I don't know why, but it's in me. If I'm going to San Antonio, check, see, I ain't got no home underwear, I guess we can go, you know. Have a wreck, at least I'll look good for the MS, you know. Like they care. He's got a hole in his underwear. Oh, gosh. They better be a little more serious and wondering what kind of underwear I got on if they're treating me in a wreck. But today, man, the TV's raising the kids. It's setting the standard for everything. And I'm telling you, church, grab hold of your family again. Because the road ahead of us, it's going to be rocky, and you better have your family with you. And if you got family you're mad at, get right. Listen to me. Get right. It's not worth it. When it all boils down to it, and it's all said and done, listen to me, blood is thicker than anything. And you better get it. You say, oh, my, I got crazy people in my family, Pastor. You don't know. Them people are nuts. Well, they don't have to move in with you, but get it right with them. We've got to restore the family unit. The scriptures, here in Acts chapter 16, it was household salvations is what was always looked at. Household salvations. It's time to pray in that crazy cousin, pray in that goofy uncle. It's time to pray in those people and get hold of them. It's time to go to your family and say, look, you ain't living right. Get right. It's time to draw together as a family. Get away from problems and get away from situations. Listen, sometimes you just got to put some salt on that crow and it doesn't taste near as bad. And get it right with your family. Don't let the family unit be hanging out there because it's just vulnerable to attack. Why does the devil want to destroy the family? Because he knows if he destroys it, he destroys the moral fiber of everything in this world. And it's not worth it. So get it right. The fourth thing is, listen to me, we have to all become educated. Educated. I have here a book that was written in 1812. Not this exact book. This is a copy of the book. Y'all say, well, that cover sure looks good. That's a copy of the book. It's called Elementary Catechism on the Constitution of the United States for the Use in Schools. It was written in 1812. This was supposedly to be in the elementary schools to be studied. And it's just written exactly like they had it. And so this is what it says. The first page. Question: in what country do you live? Answer: United States of America. Question: why is the country called the United States? Answer: because it is made up of a number of states which were once separated but afterwards agreed to unite together. Question: what does it mean by a state? Answer: I mean a district of country whose people are all under one government. Question: had the different states which united together each a government of its own? Answer: yes, but they agreed to put themselves under one general government. Question: why do they do this? Answer: because it will promote their general welfare. Question: is a government necessary in every country? Answer: certainly. Without it, nobody would be safe. Not only our property, but our lives would be in danger. It goes through page after page of question answer of the simplest. I say simple. Some of the things in here I had to stop and think about myself as I was reading it. This is what they taught their elementary school children. What I want to ask y'all is this, because I'm guilty myself. I spent time teaching my children morals and values and, you know, what the Bible said and stuff like that, but I never did sit down and teach them about the Constitution. Because I was deceived into the delusion that everything was okay and that there was people who were loved this country and they were in Washington and they were watching over our government and our state and were for the betterment of all of us and they were out for our best interest and that's why we had voted. I mean, I told my kids to vote before I started all this stuff. But I didn't ever sit there and tell them about the Constitution and what was for them and the things that I know now. I didn't talk to them about political parties. I didn't talk to them about local government and how it operated. And I didn't talk to them about commissioners or judges or elections. I didn't do any of that. I'm guilty. I stand before you as guilty. I didn't teach my children that. I didn't really put it off on the schools, assuming that they would teach. I just didn't think it was that important. It wasn't at my top of my priority. That's why the nation's in trouble, because nobody understands it. I actually was sitting in a restaurant on Friday, and there was a younger couple sitting beside us, and, you know, we were kind of crammed in, and so, you know, I could hear their conversations. It wasn't like I was trying to eavesdrop. You could just hear everybody's conversation. And they were talking about, things are really hard right now, but we're so happy with our president because at least he cared enough for people to put to have health care, to try to give people health care. And so I started, you know, my stomach started churning. I was like, oh, man. I was eating some really good enchiladas, and I'm like, oh, man. I'm just trying to relax today, and y'all are just causing the acid to just boil in my stomach. And I looked at Laura and said, oh, man, we either got to go or I'm going to say something. And I thought about it. And as I began to ease back in my chair, and I noticed they became to be a little nervous. Of course, I had rode my motorcycle into town, and so I was in my Harley attire. And so, anyway, I thought about that statement about how easy it is to get deceived, to just think, well, it's for the betterment. Listen to me, church. I want to see people helped. I want to see people helped. I want to see the betterment of everybody. I do. But you got to go about it the right way. Listen to me. You got to go about it the right way. I've said this and I'll say it again. If you're not willing to work for what you have, you're never going to respect what you have. And the more entitlements you give people and the more handouts you give people, before long, they just expect it to come back to them and they want it and they want it. Give it to me, give it to me, give it to me. And before long, their whole moral state becomes bad. It doesn't work. It doesn't have anything to do with what your race is, what your color is. It happens to any person, no matter who you are, what you are, what age you are, whatever's going on. If that's the way it is, that's what happens. If you didn't earn it, how many of y'all in here, you bought your first vehicle? Raise your hand. Hey, I bought my first vehicle. I bought a truck. This baby, man, I remember going out trying to, we'd go out. See here, I'm getting myself in trouble. When as a kid, when we'd go out and do things we shouldn't have been doing on Saturday night, everybody didn't want to ever go in my vehicle. They always want to go in somebody else's because I was like, hey, what are you doing? Get out of my truck. Get your foot off my truck. What are you talking about? They'd say, hey, you know, do a donut in the parking lot. I said, man, I ain't doing a donut in the parking lot. Something fly up and hit and scratch the side of my truck. Everybody knew you don't mess with my truck. I mean, I took care of this thing. I babied this thing. I bought it. I paid for it. I sweated all summer in the middle of a grain field shoveling Milo until I itched so bad that I had a raw neck all summer to buy that truck. And I took care of that truck. But if everything's freely given to you, everything's just stuck out there and you never do anything, I want to tell you something. You never appreciate what you got. And America right now doesn't appreciate what they got. They don't appreciate the greatness that we have in this country. And we've got to educate our children. It's your responsibility. It's not just the responsibility of the school system. You have to learn. You have to get it. I'm going to start carrying books in the bookstore just like this. I'm going to start finding teaching materials to just put in the bookstore so I can at least say, Lord, I put it out in front of them. And it's going to be your responsibility to pick it up. It's going to be your responsibility to teach. The fifth thing is church, we have to take action. The Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion. The righteous are bold as a lion, not timid as a mouse. not so humble that you wouldn't say anything. Folks, we have the answer. It's right here. It's the Bible. God already sent his son to this earth to take care of everything. He already sent his son to take care of it all. He already made a way where there seemed to be no way. He already made a way for every person. He already made a way for there to be joy and life and peace in people's lives. Well, I don't want to serve God. Well, then you're going to have to step aside. You can't be in control. I'm telling you, coming up in November, the election should be every person. I want to know if they believe in God. Well, you can't ask that question. I want to know. Dude, you're not going to do right unless you believe in God. We're not going to get our country back. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see my grandkids raised in a socialistic country. I do not want to see my grandkids raised where they're told what they can and can't do because the government's finger is in every part of your life. So therefore, they have a right to say what you have and what you can do, because that's what big government gets you, is into every finger of everything, so that before long, do you realize in this healthcare bill that they're talking about doing a body fat index? You say, oh, hey, if they're providing your health care and you're not eating right, then they can come and say, you're too fat. You're eating too much ice cream, Pastor. You got to cut it out. You got to go on a diet, or we're not going to service you because you didn't provide. You're not taking care of yourself, so we're not obliged to provide to you. Fine us. Okay, fine me. Right now, if they were here, I'd just say, all right, come on, bud. Hey, bring me another pint of ice cream. How much you want for that one, huh? Here. Shit. Hey, want some more? Give me some more ice cream. What do y'all? Listen. Y'all hear me on this. Think how ridiculous that is. If I want to weigh 700 pounds, by God, I live in a free country. It's my business. But if I was paying for my own health care, that's my business and my health care providers. But if the government's involved in it, now they say, wait a minute, we're providing your health care, so you can't weigh 700 pounds. You just gave up your liberty. Is it right to say, oh, that's a bad thing. You shouldn't be wanting to do that anyway, Pastor. That's beside the point. There's a big difference on what I should be doing because it's my choice, or what I'm doing because I had to, because they told me I had to. You start giving up liberty, they're going to take everything. And I'm telling you, this cowboy ain't giving it up. I've just about drawn a line in the sand and said, that's enough. Just go ahead. Try to step across that line and see what happens. He said, well, Pastor, they'll throw you in jail. They're going to throw 6 million of us in jail? Do you realize, in this crazy health care legislation, if everybody in the United States rose up and said, no, this is ridiculous, and they all rose up in unison? Now, I'm not by any means advocating anarchy this morning, but I'm just saying, do you realize that that was what the founding fathers wanted in every person's life? And that's why we have a constitution to protect you, to give you the rights to stand up and say no. And I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know I can do this and I can preach this to you. We're going to start getting God back in country. We're going to start praying. We're going to start taking care of our own families. We're going to start seeing what's going on with them. We're going to get things right with our family. We're going to make things right. We're going to get educated. We're going to get smart. Listen to me. If you knew that 3 months from now, you were going to have to face... let's think of something really crazy. You were going to have to face a fencing champion. I'm not talking about building fence. I'm talking about a sword fighting fencing championship. And it was for real. If you didn't win, he's going to kill you. Do you think you might practice between now and then? Do you think you might get a book and read up on it about how to fence? Huh? What the techniques are? How you hold the thing? Am I right? See, if it was serious enough about it, you'd learn. I'm telling you, it's gotten to the point, folks, it's past the point. It's serious enough about it. We need to learn. So be involved in everything that's going on, in all of our elections, on everything that's going on in our systems that are take place, that we have a voice. It's time to get educated to find out how does it work and work. I'm not advocating anarchy and throw the whole system out. I'm advocating we got to get busy and educate ourselves on how the system works and get involved. If that doesn't work, well, then we'll try something else. But the fifth one is we got to take action, church. We have to. There's no more sitting around thinking. Listen to me. There's no more sitting around thinking that, oh, it's just going to work itself out. Now, this is the last statement I leave you with, and I'm going to close. Do you know that in the last election, only 1/4 of Christian people voted? Only 1/4 of all professed Christian people voted. You know how they always talk about, and you see deals that the polls say, you know, the polls are 48, 45, and it makes it look like the country's split. You know why the country's split? Because there's only half of the Christians even voicing any opinion. 1/4 of them are only going to go out and vote. And all the liberals are stirred up doing whatever they're going to do. If the Christians would just rise up, just the Christians, I'm not talking about anybody else, just the Christians would rise up and do what God has mandated them, this thing will swing so far in the right direction, it would be just like the walls of Jericho falling down. So it's your job to take action, to talk to the friends, talk to people out there that you know. We've got people that are just so uneducated, folks. They just don't understand. They just do not understand. They're living in a cloud. And it's up to you to go tell them. Be bold as a lion. Put them out there and say, this is what's right. The Word of God, and that's it. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, be bold as a lion. Amen? Stand to your feet, please. The call's going out, church. What are you going to do? The call's going out. What are you going to do? I'm telling you, you come up with some good ideas. You come up with something that's going on, something that you think my attention that I need to know. Tell me. Listen, I don't even have it all, know it all. But we got to get together and we got to move forward. Amen. So let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we declare today, Lord, that we hear the Patriots' call. We hear the call going out, Lord, to save this country, to promote your name, to promote you, Jesus, to promote the Word of God, to promote all the things, God, that you would have for us. Lord, we hear the call today going out that we've got to get God back in country, that we've got to pray as Christians. Lord, that we have got to get a restoration to the family unit. Lord, that we have got to become educated. And Lord, most of all, it's time for us to take action, to become bold as a lion. So I pray over every one of these this morning, Lord God, that boldness would come within their hearts. Boldness to stand for the truth. Boldness to stand up for what's right. Boldness, Lord God, to be the light in the midst of darkness on the face of this earth. And that, Lord, this week when we come across challenging situations, we come across situations that are trying to get us to compromise, I declare that boldness will rise up in each and every one of them. That boldness, Lord Jesus, that's within you, would rise up within us, and that, Lord, we'd say, no, this is the direction we're going. So, Lord, I pray that you bless them today, that your hand is upon them today, Lord. Thank you for this awesome day in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.